may be seated. Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God to the book of 1 Peter. I want you to know that I'm entering into this morning a series of sermons through this little book of 1 Peter. It has only 5 chapters, and once we complete that, probably go on to 2 Peter and preach through that one as well. So I would encourage you to read ahead, study ahead, think ahead. The book of Acts tells us, tells you, search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. So you need to check me out, make sure I'm doing it right, and preaching it faithfully and truthfully as I should. I certainly labor to that end, but I'm human, as you know, and I'm not perfect. I don't know everything, and sometimes I do not get it right. So I'd never intentionally mislead you, but nonetheless, we need to, again, search the scriptures daily, both of us, all of us, to see if the things that we hear others say about it, to see if it be so. So this morning, I'll read the first 3 verses as our introduction into this book of 1 Peter. Let me remind us all, it is indeed the Word of God, inerrant, infallible, inspired by Him. It is, thus saith the Lord, and so we should hear what He would say to us this morning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So I've titled this introduction this morning simply this, Words That Describe Us. And for all of us who are born again of the Spirit of God throughout the whole wide world, these 4 words describe us: aliens, chosen to obey, and born again. And so we hear a lot this day and time about aliens, and we have a lot of what's called and labeled illegal aliens in our country, and hopefully one day that will be resolved, not yet. And the fuss about it's been going on in Washington, D.C. for a long, long time. I'm not sure that crowd can solve any problem. They seem to create more problems than they solve. However, there are some there who work diligently on our behalf, and we should appreciate them and pray for them often and ask the Lord to deal with the others, to save them if He would be pleased to do it, and if not, to have His way with them, knowing that they do not thwart His purposes. Nothing thwarts the purposes of Almighty God. Well, this book of 1 Timothy, drop down to verse 6 for just a moment, and let me read that verse. In this you greatly rejoice, what goes between 3 and 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you may be distressed by various trials. Now we need to understand that we who are Christians, living in this fallen world and being the fallen creatures that we are and living around other fallen creatures, from time to time we're going to experience various trials. Life is not always going to be hunky-dory, so to speak. We're going to have troubles, trials, tribulations in this world. Look at verses verse number 20. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, that has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, verse 21, And through him are believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Well, we are living in the last times. And I trust you already know when those started. The last times, according to the book of Acts, began when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And so between that time and the time that he comes again are the last days or the last times. And that's the way that it is. So especially during these times, we're going to see difficult things. Flip quickly over to chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. So, trials and troubles and tribulations, sufferings, fiery ordeals, these things are going to be a part of our life as long as we live here on earth. Go to chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, 10. And after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And so there's, as I see it and understand it, there's this theme running through the book of 1 Peter. Yes, we're going to have trials and troubles and tribulations, and there'll be times of suffering. Nonetheless, whatever our situation and circumstances, we are to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. We are to obey him no matter what the situation and circumstances in which we find ourselves. And so we should be challenged as well as encouraged and built up in the faith as we work our way through this book of 1 Peter. Let's go back to chapter 1, first few verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, number one, when I think of Peter, I think of, there's another term I like to put in front of his name, which I think describes him pretty well. Impetuous Peter. And I've known some other people like him, open mouth and insert both feet, not just one. Okay, you probably have run across a few like that in your own lifetime. But that was Peter. But yet the Lord loved him, the Lord saved him, the Lord called him, and gifted him to be an apostle. And the Lord made a big difference in his life, and that was evidenced as to what happened after that. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now he's writing to those who reside as aliens in a number of different places. Now this word alien, as it's used here, really has some other terms that are synonymous with it. Aliens or sojourners. Now, we're about to experience some sojourners in the city of Winston-Salem. Starting next Friday, we will have what has been known for years as the Dixie Classic Fair. Well, needless to say, you probably heard the news on that. There have been some there offended by the word Dixie, and so they want to change the name of it. And it's probably going to change in either 2020 or 21. But for 2019, it's still the Dixie Classic Fair. But there'll be those who come into town setting up and running those arcades and rides and all sorts of things. But they'll only be there for a short period of time, probably about 10 or 11, maybe 12 days. So they're just passing through. That's what an alien is, one who is passing through. That's what a sojourner is, one who is passing through. And so it is with us who are the people of God. We're simply passing through this world in this life. Turn with me a few pages back to your left to the book of Philippians, First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Philippians 3:20. And you probably know this already, but if so, it's a good reminder to us. We heard in Sunday school this morning about two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Well, we have two citizenships, we who are the children of God. Look at verse 20, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we are citizens of the United States of America, at least I know I am. I trust you are. I hope you are. If you're not, I would encourage you to become one. We need legal citizens of the United States of America who have all the privileges and responsibilities of being citizens in this country. And so it is with our citizenship in heaven. We have all of the privileges, all of the benefits, as well as all of the responsibilities of our citizenship being in heaven. And one day that's where we'll be to abide forever. But right now, we're just passing through. We are sojourners. We are aliens in this world. So that word describes us, who are the people of God. Now, again, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. I flipped to Philippians and lost my place. Give me just a minute. So he goes on, aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, next word, who are chosen. And again, we are the chosen people of God. God has chosen us. The Lord Jesus even said in John chapter 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, that your fruit should remain. We read about being chosen in Ephesians chapter 1. He chose us from before the foundation of the world and predestined us to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about chosen in Romans chapter 9, where Jacob, not Esau, was chosen, that the choice of God might stand. That's what the intent and expression of that section in Romans chapter 9 is all about. And I know that this brings some conflict in the minds and hearts of some. Not everybody who professes faith in Christ thinks this way or believes this way. And I choose to conclude that it's because they don't know what the Word teaches about it. At least I hope that's what it is. I hope they don't read about this in Scripture and say, oh, I don't believe that. That would be inconsistent, I think you understand, with being a Christian. But we're aliens just passing through, and we're chosen. We're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And it's not like that word foreknow. I know some people misrepresent that. They say, well, God looked down through the ages and saw who would choose to believe in Christ, and then therefore he chose them. Well, no, it's the other way around. God knew from before the foundation of the world who he would choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because he did that, he worked it out in time and space and in our lives to where he worked things according to his will to bring us to that point of doing just that. We responded to him choosing us by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by confessing our sins and repenting of our sins and turning to Christ to believe in him, when God the Holy Spirit caused us to understand our sinfulness and our need of Christ and caused us to understand the gospel of Christ, the one who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the one who was buried, the one who was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And all of that we responded to because God had chosen us to believe in Christ. Well, he chose us also that you look at the end of verse 2, latter part of verse 2, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. So not only were we chosen to believe in Christ and have our sins forgiven and have eternal life, but he also chose us to obey him. There are some other ways the Bible expresses this. He tells us that we are salt and we are light. And we should be the salty people and the people sharing the light and pointing people to the light, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, while we're here on this earth. There's going to be more about that, about being chosen to obey him as we go through this book of 1 Peter, because some of these people, at least I get the picture, that especially when they were going through the hard times, they just weren't very motivated to obey. In fact, some of them were probably motivated to just give up and quit. Times were that hard, times were that difficult. And different ones of the chosen people of God obviously suffer different things. I'm thankful that I can stand before you today and say that my suffering, in my own opinion, has been minimal. Now, I have done some suffering, and I know what trials and troubles and tribulations are. I've been there, been through that, and may go through more. But compared to some, mine has not been what I'd call really heavy, a couple of heavy things, but some not so heavy as well. And I'm thankful for that. The Bible also tells us that the Lord will not put more on us than we can stand. And I guess he knows, and I know he knows my makeup even better than I do, and what I can stand and what I cannot. So he doesn't give me more than I can handle. And I really am thankful for that. And even sometimes when we obey him, that's going to bring on some suffering. I know what that's like. I've been through that. Serving the Lord in the inner city of Atlanta one summer, and I was out sharing the gospel with people on the street, and there was a man and woman sitting on their front porch, and so I went up to them and introduced myself. And by the way, we lived that summer in an all-black neighborhood. We, as best I could tell, were the only whiteys down there within at least a 5 or 6 block radius. And I also learned that it's not only some white people that are racist, but there are also some black people that are racist. And I could walk down the sidewalk and be within touching distance of another coming the opposite direction who was of the black color and race, and I would speak and they would literally do this: turn up their nose and turn their head and would not even speak. So I know what it's to be on that side of racism, as well as to have been at one time before I was converted on the other side of racism and practicing racism myself as a lost person. That's another thing the Lord changed about me. But nonetheless, we are called to obey Christ. And so sometimes when we do, we get some pushback. And this man and woman on the porch, and I shared the gospel with them, and about the time I got through with sharing the gospel, the woman popped up out of her chair and use words that I'm not and told me in no uncertain term, I'm going into the house and get my gun, and when I come back out, I'm going to shoot you. And she went into the house. And so I looked at the man. I had already discovered they were not man and wife. They were just living together. And I looked at the man, and I said, do you think she's serious about that? And he said, well, she sounded serious to me. And I thought, well, she sounded serious to me too. And if I see that screen door start to open and her come through it with a gun, if she shoots me, it's going to be in the back because I'm out of here. But praise be unto God, she never came back through the door. She stayed in the house, never came back outside. So sometimes, even though we're chosen to obey, when we obey, we might get some pushback for that. Nonetheless, we are chosen to obey. Now he goes on, he uses another term with us. He's going to remind us of the obedience part as we go on through the book of 1 Peter. And in verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. There it is again. He is the one who causes us who are his chosen people to be born again. And we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I've probably shared this section or verses with you before, but I need to do it again as a reminder to us all. I find great comfort in them. It's the book of Titus. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3 on the subject of God causing us to be born again. And so for those who have trouble with this biblical truth and concept, I always want to refer them to Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and following. This is one of those sections that I found when I was a senior in college writing my biblical doctrines paper. I had chosen the subject that we save ourselves. And again, I shared that with you and told you what my Bible professor told me. He said, I'm going to let you write about that, but your research can only be done in the Bible. The library and other books are off for you. You can't go anywhere but the Bible to substantiate your view. So I thought, well, that's not a problem. Surely it's in there. I've heard other people talk that way. And that's how ignorant I was of the Bible. But anyway, when I found this, I thought, whoops, my paper title's not going to work. So I had to go back to him and say, man, I need to change subject. And he just grinned and laughed. And so I shared with him what I found, and I retitled my paper to God Saves Us. We do not save ourselves. And I was glad that he let me find it for myself in the Word rather than me getting into an argument with him about it. Well, anyway, here's what it says, Titus 3. First three words, right out of the box. How much plainer can it get? He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So let's go back now to 1 Peter. So he saves us. He causes us to be born again by the work and ministry of His Holy Spirit coming in to take up residence within us, regenerating our hearts, convicting us of sin, judgment, and righteousness, enabling us to understand the gospel, and enabling us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And so we're aliens, just passing through, chosen of God, chosen of Him to obey, and He is the one who has caused us to be born again. And so when these things are true of us, the rest of this little book is obviously for our instruction. And so I look forward to all that we will hear and all that we will learn. And next Lord's Day, for example, the subject is going to be about our inheritance, which is the next section in after chapter 1-3, chapter 1-4-9. All that's about our inheritance. And we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday as well. And so I like to hear about our inheritance. It's a good inheritance. And no matter what kind of trials and troubles and suffering and heartache and pain and all that we go through in this life, I can assure you that our inheritance is well worth it. So we'll consider our inheritance next Sunday morning, Lord willing, and I'm still living and breathing and able to get here, and I hope and trust that I will. Again, let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Father, we thank You for the book of 1 Peter. We thank You for saving Peter, calling him to be an apostle, and inspiring him to write this little book. And we look forward to all that You'll say to us in and through these five chapters. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.